AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock.
Come on, Chano.
Episode 13, Season 9 of the Fighting Cock Podcast. My name's Flav. I'm joined by John Bass.
What up?
How you doing?
I'm all right, mate. I'm good. And I love your beer, eh?
That's enough.
All right, mate.
Okay. And we're talking about Nicky. No, Nick.
Yeah, Nick. Not 50. Yeah. Or Nicky 150.
How are you doing, mate?
Yeah. I'm really good.
First time ever on a Fighting Cop.
Yeah, debut, mate. Little bit of nerves. A bit pretty much nerves. Yeah. But really glad to be here with you boys.
So I know Nick because we're going to be doing a series of podcasts about drugs.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're a drugs worker.
I'm a drugs worker.
And then there's a new way to not a new way. There's a more healthy way to talk about.
drug use.
Yeah, that's what we want to do, isn't it? It's basically bring it back to layman's terms. I think everyone who's done stuff so far has been talking really academically about drugs. It's been on a science tip and like that kind of basically is a bit disingenuous to people who actually use drugs. So what we want to do is kind of bring that conversation into the ears of people via a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So this podcast is going to be called Dosed, and it's going to be dropping at some point early next year.
Yeah.
But lots of excited. So I'm really excited. Yeah, it's good. Why?
Well, because I'm not really a big partaker in drugs.
That's good. That's healthy.
Yeah, but I'm really interested in it. So I think like there needs to definitely be more talk around, like sensible talk around drugs.
Because most people do come in contact with drugs, and that's the key, is like being most prepared when that happens, really.
Yeah. So it's good.
So when you've been off in Skag.
Skag.
Yeah, need to know what the entry level is. It's like, what's the entry level? Oh, have some Skag, mate. That's a good start.
Well, entry level is actually beer.
Yeah, booze and fags.
Yeah. So there's a misconception that weed's an entry drug.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Gateway drug theory, load of old nonsense. Yeah, really.
It's beer and cigarettes.
Yeah, that's what we use first, isn't it? So that's what kicks onto everything else.
First and foremost, though, Nick, Tottenham.
Tottenham, mate. Yeah, Tottenham.
That's the first part.
That's right. Yeah, so that's how we met, wasn't it? Tottenham,
So tell us a bit about your history as a Spurs fan.
History as a Spurs fan. So basically, first game at the Lane. I had to do a bit of digging around this, but 1988. It was I don't want to get it wrong because T will dig me out.
There
on
you
it.
Will. But
like, I think it was 1988 at home to West Ham. I think it was December, and we won 3-0.
Lovely. What was your old man a Spurs fan?
I got my old man into Spurs. It's a bit odd. I don't really know how it happened. My old man went to uni in Tottenham, just down the road. Like, lived on Holloway. Was never really into football. Somehow spawned me. Wander the left foot. I love football from early doors, and I don't know how it was Spurs.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Just happened.
Just happened, and then my nan took me to my first game, which was West Ham.
Your nan took you to
the
first game?
Yeah, my nan took me to my first game. I remember it vividly. Got a root beer from McDonald's at Charing Cross.
Great memories.
So busted on.
Your nan did that for you because she knew that you wanted to go? Or
she was Man United, man. Dark days for her. Or not, as the case may be.
I'll tell you what was very nearly a dark day last Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's start with the sending off, because at that moment, I was so angry.
Yeah.
I was so upset. I was lashing out at people I love most, i.e. the other Fighting Cock members.
Yeah.
Because they were saying that it was fair enough that he got sent off because he put himself in a situation where the ref had no choice or gave him an option to send him off.
Yeah.
And I was saying, anywhere else, regardless of the circumstances, that's not a yellow card. Was it a yellow card, in your opinion?
The second one, you mean?
Yeah. The first one was horrible.
The first one was terrible tackle.
Yeah. But
that was a solid booking. The second one is one of those where it's like, if you give a ref an excuse, then you're always a bit like wary that you're running a thin line between getting and the second yellow.
What does that mean, giving me an excuse, though?
Because he doesn't need to go that tight when you're on a yellow. Just let him go and just chase back. You don't need to go tight like that. Because if he goes down like he did, you'll run the risk of getting sent off.
What did Sergio Aurier do wrong there?
Get too tight. Just let him run and go run round.
So you're not saying he actually did commit a foul, but he gave the opportunity for the opposition to make it look like he did?
Essentially, it was really soft, but if he hadn't have put himself in that position, it wouldn't have been able to be given as a soft yellow.
He just doesn't think, though, does he? Like, he ain't got a brain.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's not necessarily a likeable player, I don't think, because he seems to be in his own little entity at right back. He doesn't seem to form relationships. It's like he plays all on his own. And then you're right. Like, he goes round him. You can see, like, Toby's covering, and he just does it. And it's just like, oh, fuck's sake, he's gone.
Well, he didn't do anything, though.
I heard you say that, but I genuinely, like, when I watched it in real time, he's just done, like, it's just bait. Like, he's just done it.
He's done the classic, just is either laziness or stupidness, one of the two. It's laziness in the sense of just get out the way and let him run past you, or it's stupidness in the sense of he's gone, well, I'll just go tight and try and get close to him. Why?
Well, there were two mistakes, weren't there? He was reacting to the throw-in that wasn't given to us and left himself out of position where he had to chase.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's ineptitude rather than...
Yeah, and he was all over the place early doors as well. He had a few like weird bit where he was just out of position, and like he just, you know, he either looks like you really want him there, and you're going like, yeah, yeah, I get Serge,
like against,
or like
the
you're
Palace.
Just like, yeah, or yeah. You're just like, mate, like where are
the,
you today?
The frustrating thing is he'd done such a good job to get back in our good books.
Yeah,
he'd done a really good job. Two great assists, a good performance against Palace. All of it's down the toilet again.
Well, my experience of that game was so weird because I've got a season ticket, but I didn't go because I promised Ree, my other half, that we'd like spend the day together. But I did the classic thing, which is like, do you want to see a little bit of lunch just when the game's on, so I can like check my phone. So I sit there and I get a little notification like Spurs 1-0. I'm like, great. And there's this thing like, oh, Aurier and Dembélé, like little celebration about VAR, and I was like, oh, good times. Like everyone's going to be enjoying it. Great. Literally put my phone down, pick it up again a minute later. Red card, Serge Aurier. Same thing again. Then it's like 1-1, and I'm just having a meltdown while I'm trying to eat my fish and chips at lunchtime, losing my head.
So at that point, like, bearing in mind that the season is the way it has become in the first few weeks, and the kind of sentiment around the football club ain't great at the moment. Yeah. There's a lot of rumours, which we'll come on to, about what's going on behind the scenes, and what the last thing we needed is to lose home game against Southampton, given the fact that Newcastle had already done us this season already. So at that moment, we're like 1-0 up. We're not cruising because Southampton had done a great job of being a part of the game and making it a competitive football match. And like props to them for coming out and playing. But, you know, we're 1-0 up. From that point at home, you expect us to go on, maybe score a couple because Southampton will continue to play the way they are and we'll make them pay. And then suddenly it's like, no, we're fucked now because there's an hour left.
Yeah.
And vast majority of teams who go down to 10 men with an hour left lose. So I was just like, I was staring the idea that we were going to lose another home game this season and all of the fucking fallout that follows and the fact that we were going to have to talk about it in the face, not thinking that we were going to somehow win this game. And then obviously the thing that with Lloris happened. Which, do you have this thing, Nick, do you ever have this thing when the ball goes back to Lloris or any one of our goalkeepers that he's going to kick it into his own net?
Yeah.
I think about it every single time the ball goes back.
Yeah, because he's got previous, isn't he? Like, he looks edgy anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two sides to this argument, right? And one is like, what the fuck, man? Just put your foot through it. And like we all know that.
Yeah.
And the other side of me is like, we've all fucked up at work. So right. Like there's like a millimetre between his studs and the ball, and it is inexcusable, but like, you know, I think I sent a question into the pod a few years ago, like when Trippier, like I can't remember who he zinged one across the back and basically put him straight in, and it's like, you know, when have you fucked up at work? And I think the kind of the bottom line is, which fans don't want to hear, is that we've all done that.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have all fucking missed the Cruyff turn and like just turned it in our own net, but it's pretty absurd.
I mean, if you make a mistake like that at work for anyone, it would be disciplinary, right?
Yeah. I mean, that the mistake at work is walking into your boss's office and doing a shit on his desk.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent.
Yeah. My old job, I used to work with vulnerable young people. Yeah. That kind of mistake would be like slapping one of them in the office.
Yeah.
Sleepwalking naked, on a night shift, thing.
Yeah. That's the kind of levels. And the thing is as well, is that if he would have pulled that cross turn off, everyone would have gone mental.
Yeah.
But saying, yeah! And then laid it out to...
It weren't really...
It wouldn't have been Aurier. It would have been there.
It weren't really on, though, was it? Like, no. Either. Like, because he's coming in at 45 degrees. Mm. And, like, you know, like, the Cruyff turn there is pretty difficult. Like, because they got to be running with you and you switch back without him realising. He's almost behind him anyway. So, mate, like...
So we've got this kind of... We're down to 10 men. Horrible situation. We've then literally thrown the ball into our own net.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, like, now we're fucked.
Yeah.
We were fucked before, but maybe we could ride it out. And I was kind of thinking back to Redknapp days when we went down to 10 men against Villa and we beat them 2-1 at Villa Park.
Yeah.
It never looked like it was ever in doubt compared to our situation now, where it felt like it's 100% in doubt that we're going to get even a draw out of this and they'll take it right now. So this fucking horror show has happened. Lloris has done, like, to me, that was the worst mistake, the worst decision he's made in the last 3 years, including the drink driving. Yeah, that was a worst decision. And then we break away like fucking one of the best breakaway goals I've seen with 10 men. Son, incredible work. It falls to Kane and he fucking puts it in the bottom corner.
Yeah, that goal, like, I kind of just got caught up in, obviously, like, the madness of what was happening, because all these events were in quite a short spell of time. It's like a 10-minute period of just fucking mad shit kicking off. And obviously later on when I actually saw the goal, I was like, holy shit, that's like one of the, like, the best quality breakaway goals I've seen for a long, long time. Like, it was quality.
Yeah,
totally rapid.
I was watching it at home and my missus was out doing a bit of shopping with the kids, so I could be myself while watching it. And I found out my being myself isn't great. I'm not a good person to be myself. I have to very contain who I am, because ultimately you get the best out of me in that instance. When I'm on my own, when there's no one around, I'm awful. I was punching things. I was punching the sofa. I screamed at the dog. I punched the floor. In the space of that 10 minutes, there's too much emotion to go through. And then luckily they came in at half time and started talking some fucking nonsense about fucking sticker books or some shit like that. But it was enough to take me out of that horrendous situation that I found myself in. And then obviously the second half started, which was a difficult experience.
Yeah, it went on and on and on, didn't it? It was properly painful. It felt a bit like Colchester, to be fair. It felt a little bit like watching that, but there was a bit of grit.
Yeah, and do you think that shows something about the belief that they do have in each other? Are we making too much of the fact that they're not motivated by Poch?
I feel like in hindsight, and like since obviously like some of the players have mentioned it now, I do think it will prove to be probably a big moment in this season, because I think a lot of the players have said, like, we kind of knew at half time we have to show character, like we have to get something out of this to kind of show that we're together and prove that we're a team.
Yeah.
And obviously we've come out of it with a positive result. So hopefully it's like a kind of launch pad for us to kick on now and kind of put some of that shit behind us. Because it's been a bit toxic, I think, in the camp. And hopefully this is the sort of thing that spurs people on to go, actually, just get on with it.
We had a great question from James Harris on Twitter. He says, if you had a gun with 3 bullets and had to line up 3 Spurs players as targets, which 3 parts of the body would you shoot Sergio in? That's a banging question.
That's a good question.
Joe Aston says, shall we send Aurier to tend the rabbits like Lemmy of Mice and Men?
No. Cool about that.
There's a lot of violence here. It was Sergio Aurier.
Yeah.
You need to think back to the Colombian guy.
Well, the one who got assassinated.
Yeah.
That was pretty dark, wasn't it?
What's his name?
Oh, I can't remember.
He scored an own goal in the World Cup 94.
Yeah.
And he got assassinated.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, for that question, it's just 3 in the head for Aurier, isn't
it? Straight, like, make sure.
Like, just, get a pillow up and just fucking finish it.
See, I've looked at it the other way and gone, like, he's still an asset. So I've just gone, like, 1 in each hand.
Yeah.
So that's
fine. Stigmata.
And then just, like, blow his ear off.
Flesh tunnel.
Yeah, exactly.
Can he come back from this?
He can come back from this. Because it's not like this was a shock and everyone was like, oh my God, he's like, actually, he's a fucking idiot. It's like, we already knew he's a fucking idiot and we already know that he's hot and cold. At the minute, we haven't got much alternative. Once, like, Walker Peters and Foyth are both fit, and if they're both playing well, then he's going to get bombed. But for now, it's like, he's going to have to come back from this. Yeah. We're going to need him.
Sissoko just looked unreal, though, in comparison to Aurier, didn't he?
Well, at right back.
Yeah. He, like, shifted in, just done a job. Like,
yeah, we haven't actually spoken about him signing a new contract. Got to be happy with that, haven't
you? Oh, I'm delighted, because I spent quite a bit of money on that hoodie. So it would have been really embarrassing.
Got more merch coming.
Oh, sick work.
Yeah. Signed a new contract, 5 years, right?
Is it a 5-year deal?
I don't know.
I assumed it was 3, but 5 years
seems... 5 years is mad, isn't it?
Seemed mental.
That's why I should never run this football club. He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
Does that show, like, a change in position from Daniel Levy? He's willing to give... has to be an improved contract to Sissoko when he's old.
Maybe Sissoko requested it, man, because we got a tune out of him. Do you know what I mean? It's been a long time coming, but, like, he does deserve it, and he's playing now, unlike he ever has potentially. You know, like, certainly last season. Yeah, you know, like, arguably, like, player of the year. I think he absolutely deserves it. Like, he's Tottenham, isn't he?
Yeah, I wonder if it's like, and this is me just, like, speculating here, I wonder if there's a little bit of, like, 4D chess from Levy. I don't know whether I'm giving him too much credit here, but maybe he's looking at some of the players who are stalling on contracts, and he's kind of looking at Sissoko and saying, like, if you basically perform to that standard, we're more than happy to, like, reward you with contracts.
Mm.
And he's kind of like done it as a little bit of a, well, we are going to give good contracts. Like, they're there, sign them. I don't know if it's something towards that, because it does feel like it's come out of fucking nowhere. Like, why didn't they do it in the summer? It's just like now when there's a load of shit in the camp. It does feel a little bit like, actually, there are contracts available for these players. They've got to sign them.
I definitely think the contracts are on the table for all three of them,
yeah,
who are kind of potentially on their way out.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, what do you think about that situation, Nick?
About the ambiguity of it? I think it's so hard to know, isn't it? Because there's so much bullshit that goes around. But I agree. Like, I think there's contracts there if they want them. I don't really understand that ambiguity. I don't see how it can ever be, like, positive for the club, because if people aren't told the honest truth, like, they start to make shit up, and that doesn't matter if it's personally or professionally or whatever, and it's just not working. It ain't working for fans, because I think there's a really logical thread around this of, like, no, it'll be all right, you know, it's business, we don't know what it is. Mm. There's other people, you know, after that game, slating the team in the pub, you know, like, saying it ain't good enough. It's like, well, we had 10 men for 66 minutes, like... Yeah. Fucking great performance. Absolutely. Like, what are you on about? But you're never going to please anyone all the time, but I think they want to play for Spurs. Like, Eriksen, maybe I'll sit on the fence on a little bit.
Yeah.
But Eriksen, you know, like, I mean, you see, look at Danny Rose in that game, and he's screaming at the ref, and he give 110% again. Like, he was proper up for it. And Eriksen is just not that player. He's always going to look lethargic.
Yeah.
You know, he always looks like he's just kind of trudging around. Even when he's, like, absolutely brilliant, I don't think 50% of our fan base see it.
Yeah. I think Danny Rose will get a bigger leeway than Eriksen ever will because of his style of play, even though... I think it's clear, especially in that performance, that perhaps he isn't good enough.
Rose, you mean?
Yeah,
I think it's one of those things where, like, Rose had such a weird career.
Yeah,
and he had a really good spell of, like, two seasons in a row for us where he was absolutely quality. Like, him and Walker either side, he was absolutely brilliant. And me included, I think that there's, for the fans that love him, we're still blinded and dazzled by that, like, thinking that he can get back there. He's still got the commitment and passion on the pitch, I think.
Yeah.
But his performances are definitely slight slipping, I think. Yeah, which is really horrible, because I love him so much.
Yeah, it's the gusto he's got, it's just the quality ain't quite there. And defensively, isn't all there either.
No.
But I can see him having a fucking worldy game. I can see that coming. It's just... I mean, look, as a kind of backup, when you're waiting for Sessegnon, if he is going to come in, he's ready for this first team, it's not a bad backup to have.
Yeah.
But kind of, I think there are some people calling for Davies to be given that starting berth now.
The thing is with Davies, like, he's another one, and I know there's certain people on this pod, Alex, who hate him. But for me, he's like, I remember, again, there was that spell where Rose was a little bit out of favour, and Davies had a run of like 10, 15 games, and he was fucking mustard. And like, there was a lot of people sort of, at that point, basically not commenting on him, which kind of said a lot, which is that he's actually performing well.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it'd be the worst thing in the world to just take him out for a couple of games, Rose. But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. No. And like you say, we've got Sessegnon potentially, if he's going to play there, it could be interesting.
I think the thing as well is that Davies and Rose are like, they're just not comparable in any way. They're such different players. Mm. Like, you know, everything that you love about Rose is completely absent in Davies. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you look at them, they're just not on the same page, but they're playing the same position.
Yeah.
And neither of them are Aurier. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm. So, like, we're not talking about the same issue at left back as we are at right back, but they're just so different that I think it's hard for people to envisage.
Yeah. I think, like, we've spoken about this, like, numerous times, but the full-back issues, generally, that's the thing that I think, like, needs to be addressed in the next transfer window. I think that there's a lot of issues, not just, like, the actual players themselves, but just generally there's been a lot of kind of issues around full-back, and we need to get that sorted. In January,
we've got a lot to get sorted already.
We have got quite a bit,
We've got, like, potentially three first team players to replace, fullbacks to sort out.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of, it will happen. It's just going to be slowly, and people have to be patient.
Yeah.
Because it's clear that this squad needs to be refreshed. And, you know, there isn't more of a clearer sign than the fact that Ndombele had such a great game. That he was fucking quality.
Yeah, good.
And, like, forget about the goal was fine and it was good and it was great that he scored it, and, you know, second goal of the season at home, but he's carrying in midfield, it was so fucking good.
Yeah,
it almost looked a little bit like watching Dembele.
Yeah.
And I don't he's not at Dembele's level yet, and maybe he never will, because I don't think we appreciate just how good Dembele was, but he looks the part. I'm really, really excited about him.
Yeah, I mean, he got properly done in like the third minute as well, like elbow to the face, like that's dropped, right, yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm looking at him on the floor going, he ain't the type like to be rolling, like he got done. And
yeah,
then,
he caught him, he did definitely catch him.
And then 3-4 minutes later, he's done six players over about 30 yards, just brushing them off. And it was like Dembele-esque. It was like, oh, we've got that guy back, you know.
And it's not like it was against a side that we were brushing, you know, brushing over or brushing aside. It was against a team that was game and had a numerical advantage for almost the entire game, certainly for two thirds of it. And he performed through that difficult period where it was essential that he performed at that level in order for us to get a result.
Yeah, no, totally. And the thing is, as well, like you said, is you're not coming up against like absolute mugs. Like their midfield is actually it's all right. It's quite decent. Like that Højbjerg's very like physically like imposing on players. And also when you put into context of like the 10 men scenario and the fact that, you know, really he's still getting used to and acclimatising to the Premier League and that physicality. To be fair, probably like that elbow probably put him in the game in a weird way. Kind of like switched him, made him think, actually, do you know what? I'm just going to get stuck in here. For me, it's really exciting. I've been saying like for a few weeks, like the kind of prospect of at home against certain teams. And I know it was like forced a little bit because of going down to 10 men. But actually having like Ndombele and Winks like next to each other, being able to kind of get closer to each other and play...
Mm.
I find that kind of prospect long term really exciting, and as like Ndombele gets up to speed, like it's just going to be carnage, boy.
Winks is
Ndombele season, son.
Winks is quality again.
Yeah,
man, I mean,
fucking class.
I feel like he's at the level now that he was just before you got that ankle injury. I think it was at West Ham a couple of years ago where he was flying and was raving about him. And like I said on the Patreon podcast, we're doing this Patreon. Reaction to every episode, every game we play now. We take five key statements from each game, and one of the questions was, is Harry Winks the most important player at Tottenham? Which is a bold statement. Mm. It probably isn't, but he's become crucial again and played his way back into that team. And one of the points we made is that everybody outside of our football club does not give him the props that he deserves because he's small, his name's Harry, and he isn't Kane. You know what I mean? But how much do you rate him?
Mate, properly rate him. Winks is like one of those guys who, when he's playing, like when he receives the ball, that's when you check your phone because you know it's safe. So like you can miss what he's doing because he is that fucking steady on it. Like he just receives and recycles, and that's the bit of the game which like someone like Paul Scholes did so well as well. Like just get it, recycle it, like ping it out and move it. He was everywhere. He looked like he'd done a gram of amphetamine. He was buzzing the whole time. He was in the ref's ear. He takes the centre, you know, and he just stays there.
Mm.
Like, he pings it back from the centre, and he just sits and he holds, and he is bossing it, man.
He's definitely one of them that has any issues with each other or motivation or togetherness.
God, no. Like, I saw something earlier when people were sort of saying, like, talking up Kane for captain. People like the real captain is Winks in the sense of like the way that he drives the team forward.
Yeah.
And you like watch his body language on the pitch. And, like he literally like bleeds Tottenham. Like he loves the club, like properly into it. And I feel like having a player like that in your central midfield is like crucial regardless. And the fact that he cares that little bit more and he is a fan, I think definitely makes a difference. The thing is that he got a lot of stick like the start of this season where he was like playing ball sideways and not driving forward. But when we played against Palace, they obviously, like, Poch had said to the players, like, just play the ball through midfield quicker, like, get it moving through midfield quicker. And Winks looked so fucking dangerous, just picking the ball up on a half turn, spinning in, just playing balls, like, through the lines.
Yeah, through the lines. Yeah,
so it's not that he doesn't want to do it, it's, like, what he's been, like, tactically charged with.
Yeah, of course.
So it's, like, even more exciting because you think, well, actually, he is capable of being, like, that Iniesta type who can kind of play alongside, like a sitting midfield and just fucking run games.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, love a bit of Winksy, man.
Yeah. Have you heard about the rumours between Vertonghen and Eriksen and their respective girlfriends and wives? You not heard this?
No.
This is
interesting. Should I read it out, what's been passed around, or should I just talk about it? Do you know, have you seen the kind of...
I mean, I've seen the fallout today, yeah. And then...
Well, there's... I won't read it. There's basically this message that's been sent on some sort of WhatsApp group or via iMessage or whatever. It's been screen grabbed and then just people... We had about eight people saying, what do you think of this? Is this real? People asking us, is this real? The idea is that Vertonghen tried it on Eriksen's wife. Wanted to bang her, basically. and the squad found out and reacted really badly against Vertonghen. And the reason why he had a black eye at the start was because one of them had decked him over these kind of rumours and these
allegations.
Yeah. So that's the idea. That part of the reason why there's this lack of harmony in the squad is because Vertonghen's doing the dirty.
Yeah, and the one layer up from that is that the person that decked Jan was Kane. Yeah. Which made it even more like you got basically like the fucking poster boy of the club just decking Jan for trying to like smash Eriksson's misses.
Yeah. So I guess my gut feeling is it isn't true.
Yeah.
Where you think you know a bloke.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, having watched him, you know, more than most men, I don't think he's got it in him to do that, has he? Like, you know, like...
Might be a dark concept.
That is bizarre, isn't it? You don't shit on your own doorstep.
No, unless you're John Terry. That's the only one that does. But I think this sort of stuff can happen. And it wouldn't 100% surprise me if it is true. I just can't see it.
I mean, it's totally feasible, but they have been friends since they were at Ajax, which is like 10...
But do you not know any of your mates that have done dirties on each other, but know each other?
Who also worked together, though, like...
And are like, literally, in each other's pockets every day. Like, they might have been friends 15 years ago, and then something happened now. Mm. Yeah, maybe, but I don't think, like, working together every day, and like basically being in each other's pockets every day. And also, what I heard just like looking through Twitter on the way back is that Eriksson's missus has like given birth in the last like month or so. So she's just given birth. Is she really going to start an affair with
saying that
maybe
Jan's not attractive after giving birth? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that maybe she's in the mindset of trying to care for a child and not going, I'll have a bit of
hormones everywhere.
Yeah, maybe.
We might have before that. Like when she was pregnant.
Maybe the kid's Jan's.
Fucking mate. We've got Bayern Munich. The small matter of Bayern Munich at White Hart Lane tomorrow as we record. We're dicking, aren't we?
Smash them up, mate. They're shit, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are they? Yeah, compared to us.
How are they doing? Do you know?
I mean, probably talks Bayern and German football. I imagine they're top of the league, Bundesliga.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, top of the league, but drawn two.
How many have played?
Six.
So one, four, and
draw. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I might be off. On that, but they've definitely drawn two. They didn't walk. They were playing a newly promoted side. I had a little look in preparation. Good, you know, I'll take this shit seriously.
More than I do.
Someone should. Yeah,
I had a little look and they won 3-2 at the weekend, but they didn't walk it, and they're not walking it generally. They don't look quite at home, but they're Bayern Munich. You know what I mean? So it's
this is the last kind of giant club that we haven't played in.
Yeah,
I can't think of anyone else.
Well, because I was thinking about this kind of start of the season when like the draw got made, and I was thinking I'm quite pleased about it really, because it's been like an amazing thing for me. I'm sure it's the same for you boys. Like Spurs playing against these fucking landmark giant clubs in my lifetime, like,
and getting results,
And fucking beating them. Yeah, it's like it's mad.
Yeah,
so I'm a little bit like, the novelty's no longer there in the sense of like, oh my god, we're just going to play them, that'll be great. I'm now like, all right, I want them as a scout now.
Yeah,
like let's get them done.
A lot of talk about the atmosphere at the Lane not being great. But it's nights like this where it should be. And, you know, it kind of... I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Don't you think, like, the whole, like, atmosphere at the Lane thing... There were so many games I went to at the old Lane that were flat.
Yeah, loads.
So many. And European nights were fucking mad and amazing. Yeah. Mm. So I think it is kind of like people looking back with a little bit of...
Rotated.
Yeah, and going, oh, it was brilliant. It was rocking every game. It wasn't.
I think Japan, everybody had their kind of habits that they were used to that are now gone because everything's changed.
Mm.
I don't know where the narrative comes from on that anyway, because more often than not, it is pretty flat. Like, being someone who's never been able to get a season ticket for circumstance and, like, living too far and things like that, like, you know, I went to a lot of kind of European games, kind of, like, through the noughties or whatever, and, you remember the ones that were rocking because they stood out.
Yeah,
but like, there was so many, and like, you know, so many of that Wembley feel as well, like last year, where you'd really be up for a game because you're not a season ticket member, you know what I mean? And you get in there and you start sitting there, and there's just people sat down around you looking at you like a freak. You'd be like, I've been waiting like 3 months to come up here, mate. You know, I had my mate over from Hong Kong, we went to see the Wolves game at Christmas. And that's it. You know, and it didn't go wrong. Shout out Paulie G in Hong Kong. But like, and it was just dead. It was dead. And then you get this kind of narrative around like, oh, the new Lane. Well,
if you look back at those like memorable nights in recent years, you've got to think of Inter Milan, which was incredible. AC Milan when we went through on away goals, I think it was. But there equally were loads of European games where we didn't even sell out the stadium. Like, I was talking about 25,000. When we used to do the 1882 stuff, like, we'd get a block to our own because no one was buying tickets. So it is a bit of a fallacy that the atmosphere is worse than at the White Hart Lane. But, you know, there's still legitimate issues that people have with it.
Yeah. I think like, we talk about, I feel like we talk about it every episode, but social media has definitely changed the football landscape in the sense of how fans perceive their own clubs, because basically online people just pick a subject. So, for example, like Spurs atmosphere in the new stadium's shit. And now, like, you get to hear what every other fan in the world essentially thinks about that, which is never going to be positive, because essentially everyone who isn't Spurs is against us.
Yeah.
Mm. And so you hear that, and then you start to kind of, like, process it in your own mind, like, oh, shit, yeah, maybe it is a bit shit. Like, that's not good. And it just becomes this, like, negative cycle of, like, oh, fuck, everything that happens is bad all the time.
Yeah.
And that's why I think football's so reactionary now. It's like, week to week, it's just like, it's the fucking world's ending because we haven't picked up a win at home against Newcastle.
Self-perpetuating prophecy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to break for half-time now. Cock! Second half of the Fighting Cup podcast. And, yeah, joined by Nick.
Yes, man.
We're doing a podcast about drugs.
Yes, drugs.
And John Bass. What have you been up to, John? It's been a week. No, 2 weeks. You're a bit upset, don't you? Because you're supposed to be on, but...
Yeah, so just like to fill everyone in, basically Flav's like, mate, can you do the pod tonight? I was like, yeah, mate, no worries. And then a couple of hours later, I get a message going, oh, mate, car's broke down, like, I had a fucking nightmare or whatever. So I was like, oh, fair enough. So I went home, just sitting at home, just like flicking through Instagram, as you do, and just see Felonious's like Instagram story pops up. It's like, oh, just about to record Fighting Cock. And I was like, right, I've been fucking pied off then. So
I had a fucking nightmare last week. I had to drop £350 on a cat that can't piss, and my car broke down. By the way, if you have cats, do you have cats?
Fuck cats, man.
No, I fucking hate cats.
Don't, mate, don't.
Do you have them, though?
No, man. No. I fucking hate them.
Yeah, they are.
I fucking hate, well, like, I'm allergic to them.
Right.
And once one ransacked my house.
Yeah. Cat burglar.
Literally, walked through the back door. I was watching the Euros. Like, it was hot as fuck. I sat on the floor in my pants watching the Euros. I was a bit battered. And this Siamese cat walks through my back door, right? And I, like, look at it and I'm like, the fuck? Like, get out.
What are you doing?
And the cat just looks at me and just goes, like, fuck you. Like, yeah, they do. Like,
arrogant, aren't they?
So I, like, get up and I'm like, get out. The cat runs headlong into the French doors instead of out the back door where it came.
Yeah.
Like, headbutts it full tilt. I'm like, no, what's it? It looks at me, crouched down, jumps up, grabs the curtain rail, rips it out the wall. Like, it comes down, there's brick dust, that all smashes on the table, looks at me again, jumps on top of a bookcase.
Yeah.
Of course, on the top of the bookcase, it's all fucking candles, mate. So,
absolutely.
Smashed it fucking everywhere, like, just, like, ran out the door, just left me in a sea of brick dust with the house fucked. 2 minutes later, Mrs. walks through the door. What the fuck are you doing?
You doing, yeah.
I'm like, oh, my
Nick,
days.
That's your fault.
I fucking hate cats.
I really hope that you're missing. You went, oh, it was a Siamese cat. She just went, what the fuck have you been drinking?
Yeah, you approached that with the wrong energy.
It's like the time I blew up the oven, but that's for another day, maybe. You know, like, she just seems to walk in and catch me in my pants in terrible scenarios. Not like Jan.
No. A mate of mine went out on a big night out, and he came home and he had his work bag on his back, and his missus let him in. Like, oh, you fucking prick, you're pissed again, like that. She went to bed and he put some chips in the oven because, you know, he'd been drinking a lot and get hungry at the end. He woke up to the smell of utter, like smoke everywhere, burning his missus screaming. And she'd found him on his knees with his chest on the seat of the settee asleep. Like, so he just kneeled down and just face down on the settee, completely asleep. Your missus ever caught you in a weird situation?
Basically, we went out on a night out, both of us pissed up, we get home, I've, like, tried on a little bit, she's just like, fuck, so she's just like, get off me, fat mess, I've just gone to bed, and so I'm like, oh, fucking hell, I was like, this is tragic, like, I was up for a little bit of action, she's not interested, so I thought, all right, she's, like, in bed, obviously in a mood now, so I'll just, like, text her one more time, like, oh, do you fancy, like, shall I come in, do you fancy a little bit, no reply. So I thought, all right, I'll treat myself. PlayStation's in the lounge. Got a lovely, like, comfortable chair there. HD, like 1080p.
Bit of FIFA.
Yeah. Well, obviously a bit of FIFA first. Then played a couple of games of that and a little bit of porn.
Right.
So I put the porn on. Full TV. So that's like...
It's bold.
It's bold, but she's like...
Rare.
She's out for the count. And
a bit disrespectful as
well. Well, no, because I...
Like, on your phone, it's fine because it's, like, discreet, but, like... fucking, was it 50-inch 4K?
Yeah, they're big when you put them on like that.
They are big. It does seem a little
intimidating, isn't it? Yeah. Like, look at the size of that.
Yeah. But, you know, the sound was on like...
Cock the size of my settee.
Shit, the bed.
So it's like, the volume's on one, so it's like, you know, it's quiet. It's not like you can hear it. But anyway, I'm there just having a wank. Mm-hmm. Door goes, Ree walks in, I'm having a wank. So right. I'm like, oh, like... I'm embarrassed because I've been caught wanking, yeah, but yeah. I wouldn't be embarrassed otherwise. It's just the shock factor. And she's just like, what are you doing? Oh my God, this is ridiculous. She then goes to bed thinking
why did she say it was ridiculous?
Well, because she was a pissed up mess. She thought that I'd sent the message and then started wanking immediately. I'd sent that an hour before. And then obviously,
you weren't trying to lure her in.
Well, I tried and it had failed, so it was her own fault. And then I'm there just like on my own wanking. She thought that I'd
so she was upset
wank.
That, yeah.
And I was like, right, what else am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I can't have your cake and eat it.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, so I finished up and then went to bed.
Did you? Did you work it out?
Yeah. She went to bed, was in a mood, and in the morning I was like, what the fuck was that all about? And she was like, explained the situation. I said, well, look at your phone. I text you like straight away since we got in. She was like, good point.
It wasn't bad porn, though, was it? It's fine.
No, it was fine.
Just straight.
Just like, yeah, big women picking up blokes. T's favourite.
Nothing niche, then.
No, nothing too niche.
No, that's good, man.
We can talk a little bit about niche porn in Noah's Bard.
Great.
Can't do it anymore.
My favourite.
Yeah. Poch reckons that Sissoko could have a long-term future as a right-back. You see a world where that happens? And it's a little bit worrying that he's saying that rather than thinking, how do we solve our right-back situation?
Why is he getting people to play out of role?
Buy one.
Hugo, buy one. Let's put him in goal. Like, Sissoko, get the gloves on, fella.
Yeah. Just because he had like a couple of good games like as a fill-in right-back doesn't mean he is the lasting solution to our right-back problem.
Don't you think this is just what's happening now with Poch? It's like, oh, fuck, we haven't got a right-back. Foyth, right, you play right-back. Yeah. Plays like just all right. I think he's got a long-term future playing right-back. Yeah. And it's like, whoever plays there has suddenly got a long-term future.
He's 30 years old.
Also, he hasn't got a long-term career.
He hasn't got a long-term fucking...
anything.
Yeah.
It's proper Sunday league as well, isn't it? He's, like, start him up front. Yeah. Like, he's just banging him in his 20s. Then he hits, like, oh, I'm 25. Well, best put your centre mid, mate.
Yeah.
No, now you're fucking right-back. Like, no, mate. Like, we're one of the top teams in the country. Let's buy someone new.
We don't need... a centre midfielder at right back. You just do not need that. It's an easy. I mean, there must be a right back out there that's good enough.
The thing is, it's weird. Is like there aren't many players that they start their career in one position, and then go into a second position and are better or at least the same. I can think of a few. I remember like Phil Neville was a fullback, and then when he played holding midfield forever, and he was better there than he was at fullback.
Yeah.
But I can't think of many. Remember when Alan Smith used to play out front for Leeds and went to Man United and played central midfield? He was rubbish there.
Gary Doherty, you've sent him back to forward.
Rooney as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was the same thing. Like,
exactly.
No,
so
mate.
What are the chances that Sissoko, all the coaches he's had for his entire career, have all gone, looked at him and gone, do you reckon he could play right back? And they've all gone, well, obviously not.
No.
And Poch has gone, I've got a brain. Wave long term right back,
yeah.
Give him a new contract, Daniel.
What do you make of Pochettino's kind of performances in the press room? What's his game?
What's that guy's game?
What is he up to?
I feel like everything's cryptic with him,
yeah. Like he's he's either controlling because when he was at Southampton, he wouldn't even talk in English. And we thought he couldn't even speak English.
Yeah, and then we lauded it up, going like, "Oh, he started talking English." Yeah, he knew, and now we're like, "Shut the fuck up, man! Like, you're not making any sense." Like, and maybe he's playing them at their own game, and maybe it's just the fact that you know the British media is an absolute joke. Like, when it comes to football or pretty much anything else, is like, you know, as
except
we can
on
see.
Brexit.
Oh yeah, obviously they're spot on. Depending on what you read,
really,
but
balanced.
Like maybe he's just like, "Fuck it, ain't worth it."
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
it's
but
not
he
helpful.
He could straight bat it all. He could absolutely straight bat it all and not give anything. But he gives loads, but in really weird ways.
The thing is, like I remember like Ferguson being very specific about. So sometimes he'd say something fucking mad. He'd be like, "Why has he said that?" And then United would get a result when they'd had like a couple of bad games or something like that. And you think, well, he's obviously said it for like a particular reason. And it's definitely seemed like there was strategy to every little thing that he would do.
Mm.
With Poch, I want to believe that's true. But I also just believe, like in his book, he talks about how people have colours associated to their soul and their energy. So I sort of think, like, maybe he's just a fucking weird geezer. He's just like...
That's not weird, that's fine.
What? So
I see you as like a black.
Just because I'm wearing black?
No, around your aura is very dark and
Very dark. Right, well, then I can see you're full of deceit.
Yeah, I'm a lovely purple.
I ain't saying shit, really, to be fair. Well, like, I think I get what you mean, though. He puts, he speaks really kind of humanistically. Yeah. You know, like, he's got a sight, like, obviously we love him, but he does seem different to other managers. I'd almost, like, when you said Fergie, I thought you might go down the route of, like, just being, like, quite militant about it. Like, you know, he just stopped talking to the BBC, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah,
and Sky, and, like, and you just think, like, well, let's do that. Because what he's doing at the moment is in no way useful for us trying to, like, unpick it.
Yeah.
But for also, like, the quotes and, you know, the newspaper, you know, the red tops and all the rest of it, it just ain't helpful, like, and it's just adding fuel to the fire in a difficult period.
I think he is
being
intentional about what he's saying. Mm. I just think these command of English it makes it more difficult to decipher.
Yeah.
But he could just not say anything.
Yeah.
And I don't think much changes.
Yeah, thing is, it's one of those, if you don't say anything, so if he comes out, like, especially at the moment, right, with everything that's going on, if he comes out and goes, well, don't answer that, and he's really short with the press, then it's like, Pochettino's not discussing stuff because there's an issue at Tottenham, right? If he comes out like he has done and says stuff, then people interpret that in the way that they want to interpret it. So they're like, oh, he said this, that must mean X, Y, and Z. So he can't really win.
No, he can't win.
He can't really win.
Is he contractually obliged to...
I think they are.
I do think they are.
They are to do some stuff. Like, I think the post-match.
Yeah, basically.
But the press room, that not they ain't contractually obliged through the Premier League to talk to the kind of, you know, media.
Yeah.
Like the mix zone and all that kind of stuff. He has to talk to Sky Sports. He doesn't have to talk to the Evening Standard. But he's always been quite personable in that sense.
Yeah.
So we had Dan Kilpatrick on there, who's that kind of lead journalist for Spurs for the Standard. Mm. And he said he's always been really personable and friendly to talk to.
It's difficult because you can, like, you've seen other managers do it. Like, I think, like, Mourinho's first time around at Chelsea, like, really, and Ferguson used to do it as well, like, get the press against you purposefully so that you could sell that to the players as, like, look, everyone fucking hates us.
Mm.
Like, let's prove them wrong. And I kind of feel like Poch has actually got an opportunity to do that now. But the problem is we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So if it is actually a problem with the players, then he can't really be seen to be digging him out because it will make it worse. It's really complicated, and because we don't know, it's really hard to speculate on it.
Yeah. Vertonghen Coy on contract talks, according to T. And not that he's the source of this news.
He's been telling T off just a little bit. Not sure though.
It's obvious, isn't it? He hasn't signed a new one. It's up the end of the season. Do you want him to sign a new contract, Vertonghen?
I would like him to sign a new contract. I've said on this pod last time, just ask him what they want, just get him to sign it, because. If you're, let's say for argument's sake, they all signed 200.
They want 300 grand.
Give him it. I'll tell you why.
Go on.
I mean, okay, 300 grand's mental, but let's say, for example, they were like, I don't know what they're on now, but let's say they wanted 150. So I imagine Ericsson maybe 200, right? But the other two, 150, let's say, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The extra amount of wages that you're going to have to pay them is not the equivalent that you're going to have to pay to replace Jan Vertonghen, who would be in like the top percentile of defenders in the league, if not the world. Toby Alderweireld is one of the best centre-halves in the world, and Eriksen is one of the best creative midfielders. You're looking at 250, 300 million to replace them three players?
Yeah, but you don't replace them that way. That's not what happens, is it? You find someone that you can train and develop.
Yeah, but you can't.
We're not Man City.
Oh, yeah, I get that. But this is what I'm saying is, that's a bigger risk than to go, okay, fine, well, we'll spend essentially 30 million on wages. It's a much bigger risk.
I'm not sure. There are risks involved in every one of these decisions, but I'm not sure. I think a rather big risk is to give those three players another 2 years each and pay huge wages when you could actually get fresh talent in who aren't necessarily bored of what Pochettino's been telling them.
But is 150 grand, let's say they're on 75, so you're doubling their wages.
So,
is that a huge risk in modern... 150 grand a week's not a lot of money now for wages. That's what I should be paid, by the way.
Collectively, over a two-year... That's 6 years of wages, over all three of them. I mean, and Ericsson would be longer than that, I'd imagine. Be 4 years for him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the cost of that to replace those players, to cost one of them, is like... I get your point, in the sense of, like, you bring in players. But look, Sanchez was, what, 40 million? He's nowhere near good enough. He's nowhere near as good as Alderweireld.
Yeah.
And that's 40 million. So what are you going to do? Try and find a player who's 20 million, who's as good as Sanchez? Like, this is the problem with the game now, is... I think the era of like finding gems is still possible, but it's getting much harder because.
Well, if Lo Celso's a gem, he's on loan with a view to sign in for like 45 million.
This is what I mean.
A substantial amount of money.
And he's considered a gem, right? So if you're going to go, okay, fine, well, we'll replace him with gems, you're going to spend 200 million.
Mm.
on gems. So just give them what they want. Just give them 200 grand a week.
And that's before you get onto the cohesion of those guys having, like, literally played together as centre-back pairings for, like, their whole lives. Like, you know, internationally, think about, like, it from an England perspective.
Yeah.
Like, if we had that, if we had the same players in the same team, we know how that can work. We know what that looks like. But you're right about, I mean, the Alderweireld to Sanchez, like, comparison. I mean, imagine Sanchez hitting a 70-yard cross diagonal like Toby can. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not comparable in any way, is it?
Talking about England, Gareth Southgate's been linked to the Spurs job.
See what I did there?
Yeah, mate, beautiful.
Lovely segue.
See, drugs pod, that's full of this.
Yeah, mate, it's just chemistry. It's natural, mate. That's what MDMA will do to a man.
Yeah. So Southgate has been linked to the Spurs job. Now, he has done a good job.
Yes, yeah.
But none of us want him.
No.
Why is that?
I think international management is really different. Like, you got a group of players. I mean, so he was England under 21 manager for a long time. He knew a lot of those players. He knew their strengths, weaknesses. He can motivate them, like, for a short period of time. And he has done really well for England. But international football is so different to club football. And I just kind of think, like, even recently, like, some of his decisions that he's made have been very odd with selection, Southgate, where now he's in that new phase of, like, players he hasn't managed before and he's getting, like, new players through.
Mm.
It'll be interesting to see what he does with it. Like,
it's a nonsense article.
It's just a nonsense
absolute
article.
Nonsense.
Yeah,
it's not even worth talking about, really.
Yeah,
it's
On the old, should we boo that on the old format? Should we boo it?
I like that format where you clap and boo, but everybody thinks. Oh, sometimes no, is that no as well?
Yeah, don't work. But
it was an odd misstep from you, Flav. That one.
You just live and learn, didn't you?
You do, mate.
It's like Southgate, mate. Just not cool.
Yeah, it's just not cool.
No context TFC, if you haven't seen, there's a Twitter account that takes all of our statements on this podcast or points and obviously removes the context and the true nature of it and makes us look like fucking idiots.
My favourite thing is the amount of times that you go, that was never said, and then about 100 people go, yeah, no, it was when this, and you're like, ah, oh, yeah.
No, it was said, but not like I said.
That wasn't a racist.
Did you think that was a racism that I did last week?
No.
Are you saying that just because you're sitting in front of me? It's fine.
No, I didn't think it was, but then I did keep saying it in my head a few times.
Yeah.
Then it got weird.
Yeah, I've kept saying it all week.
Yeah.
I don't think it's racist.
No. You are not the barometer, John.
Why? Because why are you saying that?
Because you're a racist.
Right. That's racist against racists, then. So.
No, you're not. You just have interesting views on.
Saying it like that makes it sound like you're defending a racist. I'm not racist. I've just got an alternate view of the current, agreed upon view of what it is.
You literally said nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, no context. CFC says you've got to watch your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband give oral sex to one player in the squad in exchange for a Premier League title. What player are you picking? Or surely one option should be you don't have to do it and forget the Premier League title. I would struggle because I think it would damage my relationship immeasurably.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
It's not worth it.
Let me pitch this to you, though.
I don't care.
Your respective partners have had a past. So they sorry to break this to you, they will have done that to someone else.
No, she's a virgin.
What the actual fuck, John?
I've come down. It's taking time, man. He's fucking busy.
And you're telling me about our missus noshing someone else.
She's going to insist on listening to it as well, isn't she?
Will she? I mean,
proud of me.
She should be proud. And, you know, in hypotheticals, I wouldn't do it, not to win the league.
If she wanted to do it, I mean, there's some players in the squad that Ree's like, oh, he's all right. So maybe I'd be like...
Son.
Oh, she loves Son, yeah.
Yeah, Son, because it'd be all like a very pleasant experience.
That is fair.
Yeah, it wouldn't be there'd be no aggression from Son. It'd be a kind experience.
For the first time in the history of mankind, it would be an asexual blowjob.
Yeah, I reckon he'd just take her in a room and come out and go, yeah, it's all finished.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he wouldn't have touched her.
No,
he would have just made her a cup of tea or a cup of soup or something.
Yeah. He goes, I need to come up to you. I'm sorry for putting you in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a box.
Yeah.
Finally, Paul.
Cicelli.
Is female squirting an actual thing?
Oh, I've got a lot of background on this.
Oh, yeah, you've spoken about this, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't know whether I have some sort of, like... You know there's, like, pheromones and shit, like...
when you stamp on a wasp?
Yeah, you give off a certain scent, don't you? And people, like, certain... people are attracted to that pheromone. Yes. I think I have it that attracts squirters, because in my sexual experience, I think I've probably had sex with about double figures squirters.
How many people have you slept with?
About 50.
That is remarkable.
What, that 50 people want to have sex with me, is that?
Yes.
Right, why are you saying that?
Because...
it's impressive, man.
Is it impressive? Because well, that shouldn't be a barometer of... I haven't slept with that many people.
Right.
Yeah, not me either. I mean, it just came out. It's impressive. I don't know. We just met.
Yeah, could be 51.
Well, you respect women, don't you?
Absolutely.
And so do I.
Yeah.
Well, why are you saying that? I respect women.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I'm mucking about. So what? Yeah. So you feel?
Yeah. It's definitely a real thing.
Is it piss?
It doesn't smell like piss. It smells more like hot dog brine.
What? Oh, we have talked about this.
Yeah, we've spoken about this.
Comes back to
yeah, like I told you about this. So.
Well,
so it's definitely a real thing. Not all girls can do it. There are certain techniques that you can find out whether or not they can do it.
Is it?
Do you want me to say about this?
It's up like and round the corner.
Up and round the corner to the spongy bit and just pull back towards yourself. See?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Feel like Nick's going to shed some light on this.
Not just a pretty face.
No.
No, I think I might have even just heard you say that, but like, yeah, up and round the corner.
Mm. Yeah, it's a real thing.
There you go. I wouldn't know, I've never experienced it. And I'm sure, like, fucking a bit of a mess and a bit of a faff. You with your missus, 5 years, every time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you've got to clean up. And
it's spaffed everywhere.
Yeah, it can be a bit annoying. There's a bit of forward planning goes into it. But if, like, for someone I stand you didn't know, then it's like, hopefully it's at theirs.
Plastic sheet off the kid's bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it down. Go for it.
It's all right, my son pisses the bed all the time. It's fine.
He won't know any of it.
Wrap yourself in this. Strap yourself in.
Thank you very much, Nick, for joining us on the Fighting Cock podcast.
Thank you, mate.
There'll be more coming from the project we're working on. John Boy.
Always a pleasure, mate.
We'll talk after Bayern Munich, I imagine. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, boy. It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting.
It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting. Cock! A camel surname! Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 How personalized can a financial plan be when it's created by one of those robo-advisors?
Plugging in standard algorithm to calculate insurance need and future wealth of random human client.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting to know you always comes first. Together, we'll create a financial plan based on your specific goals. Find a local Farm Bureau advisor at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it. Sports Social Podcast Network.